Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm so glad to have you tuned in once again. Looking forward to a great hour today. Like this is one of those hours where if you have a question as it relates to finances, money, budgeting, just saving, spending, all those kinds of things, credit cards, now would be a good time to just give us a call and queue up because we've got a great guest back with us again on Connecting Faith. Ted, I know we were just talking the other day off air. You've been visiting with your financial advisor, right?
Yeah, it had actually been a couple years, which isn't recommended. They recommend an annual visit, but we were able to get back in touch, and it's always good to do that, review your portfolio and all that stuff. Yeah. But even the basic stuff of building up your emergency reserve fund that I have heard numerous guests talk about here on the show.
Right.
So that's an action item for us to work on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you haven't gotten built up yet?
So. No, they're 3 to 6 months. I mean, it's going to take a little while to get there.
That's true. That's true. So, well, that's the time of year where maybe you're some of those credit card bills are coming due. And you're sort of looking back and, okay, that's what we did for Christmas, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
I always think, too, is this time of year you start pulling together some files for taxes, and then you sort of have a good look at, like, wow, that's what we did last year, huh?
So, yeah.
Okay, maybe we should readjust. So we're going to talk a little readjustment today with Mary Hunt, who's an award-winning and best-selling author, syndicated columnist, sought after a speaker, helps men and women battle the epidemic of consumer debt. And she's founder and publisher of the interactive website Debt Proof Living, which features financial tools, resources, information for her online members. Books have sold more than a million copies, and I'm a regular reader of her daily newspaper column, Everyday Cheapskate. Nationally syndicated, and we've got, it's dozens, maybe, I don't know, 22, 25 books or so, maybe more than that that Mary's written. But I've got actually a copy of a couple of her, The Smart Woman's Guide to Planning for Retirement, and we'll make that available if you'd like to. We'll maybe ask a question or two about that as well, but also got a copy of Debt Proof Living. And so we'll do a drawing at the end of the hour, but love to have you join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Mary Hunt, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, thanks, Neil. So great to be with you.
I know that you we want to talk relocation first because there's probably some expense there, but I know that as you've talked about in the past, you're moving after years in Southern California to Colorado.
You want to know how many years? I shouldn't say. Well, we've been married 45 years and lived here for 4 years before that. So, yeah, this is going to be huge.
Oh, I'd say, yeah. So, and are you all packed up and ready to go?
We are so excited. It's been kind of a, we've taken it in phases. We sold our house a year and a half ago. And so most of our possessions are in storage, long-term storage with a very reputable moving and storage company. They're holding those things for us. We kept out enough to live in a very tiny little place where we have been now for almost 18 months. We did it.
Wow.
I can't believe it. It has been the most amazing, eye-opening thing I have been through in the last 50 years. I have to tell you, I didn't know I could live with one wooden spoon, one spatula, and one knife. That's what I have. That's how small this place is.
Wow.
But it has been fantastic. Now we're in the process of packing up the things that we've been living with for 18 months, plus two businesses we're moving as well. So...
Well, that's probably not a bad actually exercise to say, you know, what would you keep if you had to move into a small apartment today? I mean, if your house sold, I don't know, maybe you hadn't really planned that it was going to sell that fast, but
that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. But this has been, I tell you something, we have, God has just been so good to teach us and to give us this opportunity to see how little we can manage to live on. And I never set out to do that. I didn't feel like I had to prove that to myself or anyone. But just through the circumstances, you cannot believe how much money we have been able to save, physically save, put away into bank accounts, because our expenses have gone down to almost nothing compared to what they were, just day-to-day living expenses, even here in California. And the more we save, the more we are compelled to save, and it's just been fantastic. You know, and I swore I was never going to write another book, but I think I've got one more in me. I've got to write about everything I learned about my minimalist life and how now we're going to view these next few years. Came to the point that I realized I'm not ready to stop entertaining. I love to have people in. I love to host parties and so on and so forth. That has been such a big part of our lives, to have family and friends come and stay with us. So we are going in 62 days, we're moving into our new home in Colorado with a view of the Front Range of something called the Rocky Mountains. I'm so excited. And it is a large home. It's got lots of guest rooms. But I'll tell you something, I will never, ever look at my living quarters the same as I did before. There's so much I will not take for granted. I know this will be temporary. Everything is temporary. But we're going to enjoy it and take the lessons we've learned from the last 18 months with us.
Obviously, we're just thinking about here, you're living in a small place. It's only going to take you about 15 minutes to pack, which is probably one of the benefits. I know that you've recommended and experienced it, you know, in a season before in your life, that when it comes to getting out of debt, I mean, you do what you have to do, sort of consolidate, you tighten up, you do all those things. So when now, you know, you're going to be moving into more square footage, is there a sense, well, now I can sort of start buying again, I can accumulate again, or will you say, no, I'm going to enjoy the less and the space?
You know, I will do that with a different attitude. We have a list of the things that we will need to purchase. Excuse me. I am very fond of gently used things. We will be looking at Craigslist and that kind of thing. Hang on just a second.
Sure. Right. Talking with Mary Hunt today. Mary, of course, best-selling author and award-winning speaker and columnist, and talking a little bit about just, you know, ways to get out of debt and stay that way. And we're talking about, adjusting to a bigger location here eventually.
I think that everything that I buy nowadays, I'm always looking to the future. How much will I ask for this when I have to sell it at a garage sale? How much trouble is it going to be to donate this? How much trouble is it going to be to get rid of this? Because now I'm starting to see nothing is forever. And so, we're looking at this next phase of our lives through a completely different lens, but it's so excited.
Mm. Well, let's talk, Mary, by the way, if you'd like to have a question for Mary as it relates to, you know, spending, saving, debt, all those things, maybe even, retirement or moving. Or just maybe a favorite tip that you read in one of our columns, or you have one to offer, we're happy to have you join the conversation at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. So here we are with the end of January. I'm just curious, does your mail change from season to season? Do the kind of letters, the comments, the emails you get here this time of year different from, say, in September or maybe even December?
A very simple answer. No. I don't see any difference at all. People write to me out of the same problems, challenges of their lives. They don't seem to be seasonal like that. Now, you know, once in a while, you know, like, you have a great Christmas cookie recipe. I don't count that. I'm talking about those heartfelt people who, you know, with heartfelt problems of situations that they're in. I don't see a seasonal thing to that at all.
And is the are the issues the same over the years? You've been doing this for a long time. I mean, I guess I was thinking, you know, with all the books, the seminars, you've been writing columns and books for years. I mean, have we not learned, or are there just new enticements? So we forget.
I think that we're not learning. You know, we learn late. The consumer credit industry has just done a real number on our society. And I think that people think they can beat the system. You know, I can go ahead and use all the credit cards. I can run up debt. I'll pay it off later. I think that the whole thing of student debt, parents feeling guilty that they haven't saved for their kids' education, come up to the time that they need to start, you know, applying to college, and they panic and they load up on all these loans and all. you know, Neil, when it comes right down to it, it's a single issue problem, and it just changes in size. It's that we have learned we can have things now and pay for them later. And, you know, I mean, that's a broad statement. Of course, we buy a home with a mortgage that allows us to pay it off over time, but that is so different than coming out of college with $125,000 of debt. I have no idea what kind of a job you want to get, or if you can even get a job, or running up so much credit card debt just to try and keep the lifestyle going when we've lost the job. It's a problem of wanting instant gratification, having it all now, pay for it later. It changes in size and scope. It changes in the age groups that I hear from. But basically, that is the underlying problem.
I guess I wondered, too, if this is are young people more susceptible? I mean, we've heard a lot about sort of childhood obesity. Is there a childhood financial indebtedness that's growing because we're not, maybe not passing it on to our kids, or we're not modeling it ourselves?
Yeah, I think that it's very clear to me that kids who start getting some financial intelligence while they're still young from their parents that actually teach them and train them how to manage money, those kids fare much better going through school. They've got values. They're willing to live at home and go to junior college because they understand, they realize the deal here. But it's kids who are shielded from that. I think parents sometimes think that's a loving thing to do. They don't need to know about the financial problems of the family, which is true. I agree there. So they just try to make them feel like they can have everything they want. Everything's great. Don't worry about a thing. As kids go off to college, and boy, I'll tell you something, that's a disaster just waiting to happen. Kids who just don't know anything about how to manage money.
Well, we're talking about debt-proof living today, how to get out of debt and stay that way. Some good advice here early on in the new year. Maybe we'll get to some habits, some things that we can change here maybe today. I guess let's make sure we do it today. Why wait till tomorrow? But things that we can do today that will actually make a difference for us in the remainder of this year, 2015. Talking with Mary Hunt, who is award-winning, best-selling author, syndicated columnist. She has the great website, Debt Proof Living. Check it out, debtproofliving.com. Has written a couple of dozen books, and we've got some copies of some of her resources to give away. Love to have you join the conversation, too. If you have a question as it relates to saving, spending, getting out of debt, maybe retirement planning, all those things, I'd love to have you join the conversation at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. More in a moment. In a society that is pretty well focused on buy now, pay later, and if you're going to be watching the Super Bowl here next week, you're going to see companies that have spent millions of dollars to convince you that there's something more that you need in your life, whatever that might be. We're talking today with Mary Hunt, who has written well about this and still offers great advice, a motivational speaker, helps us battle the epidemic of consumer debt. Find out more on her website, debtproofliving.com. She's written a number of books. We've got some copies to give away. You can join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. We'll get to a question or two in a moment. But, Mary, I'm curious, what does debt-proof living mean? I mean, how do you define that?
Debt-proof living is a way of life where you are managing your resources in a way that you do not run to credit in order to get through the seasons of life. It's a way of life where you're giving and saving and living below your means so that you are able to do that without reliance on credit cards.
Speaking of credit cards, if we're getting a credit card, should we get one that offers the cash back? You know, there's a lot of ads about that. I mean, is that, you know, I know it's not a lot, but it seems like it's something, right? Are those worth doing?
Well, we have to lay the rule down. Any credit card that carries debt from one month to the next, there's not enough rewards in the world that can offset that. So the only good credit card is one that has a zero balance every single month. If you're using a credit card to create credit consumer debt, you need to get rid of that card immediately. You do not have the financial, you know, acumen or maturity to have that. So now let's look at a credit card where you never carry a balance from month to month. Now you've got some options. Depends on how you're using that. If you really believe that you can use it and pay it off every single month and put a lot of expenses on there, you know, what is important to you? Is it cash back or would you rather earn miles? Then you have to look at, once you get the rewards figured out, then you've got to look at, what is this thing costing me? Because if you're going to pay $200 a year as the fee, most rewards cards have a fee. You're going to have to earn an awful lot of miles in order to, you know, balance that out, because $200.
You could buy a lot of miles for
$200. Yeah, you could buy a lot of miles that way. So, you know, it's all these tricky things. What I can promise you is that there's not a credit card in the world that was created to make your life better. The credit cards are created to make the banks money. There is no other reason for them. And so it's a game. It's a game to see who can earn the most, make the most off of this. And it's a clever consumer who can beat the banks and the credit card companies at their own game. And it happens now and again. It does, but it's very, very unusual. You're kind of playing with fire, because you might think that you can put, you know, the entirety of your kids' back-to-school clothes on a credit card, and you're just going to pay it all off before the cycle is over, and then something happens. Your car falls apart, or, you know, you have an emergency, and before you know it, you've got this big balance that you're just going to have to let roll to the next month because you just don't have that cash you thought you would. So it's tricky. It's very, very tricky. And I can't say that one credit card would be ideal to another, because everyone's situation is just so different. But I would say the best thing you need to do is to educate yourself first before you make a move.
We do want to have a good credit score, though, right? Can we do that without absolutely. A credit card?
You really do need one credit card. Everyone needs one. I mean, I can't fly anywhere. I can't buy an airline ticket without a credit card. They don't look well on cash at the airport. But it's got to be in such a way that you are not never, ever rolling a balance from one month to the next. So, yes, every adult in this country needs a credit card, but only one. You only need one, because if you're using it wisely, you have no balance on it. And so what you have is what the industry calls a 0% utilization rate, which means that you're using none of the available credit. If you have 100% utilization rate, that means you're maxed out to the nth there, your entire limit is being used and is now turned into debt, which will just kill your credit score. So yeah, you do need the credit card, but you've got to be wise in knowing how to manage it. That's what it's all about. It is a game. You've got to realize how to win the game, and that has to do with that one credit card. I don't think it's realistic to live in this world without a credit card. It's just
because I know we've talked about it. You're not necessarily a fan of the debit cards, right?
No. I wouldn't own one. I don't have one, never have, never will. That's
They're
so
easy, though.
Oh, it is so easy, but it's so easy for a crook to clean out your entire bank. See, the difference is when you use a debit card, you're using your own money. It's coming out, and if a thief gets a hold of that, and it's so easy these days. I mean, just read the news, how many millions of debit card numbers are stolen every single day. You could lose the entirety of your bank account and all the accounts attached to it. They've taken your money. Now you've got to prove that it wasn't you that did it, and you're going to have to work, and it's going to take weeks and weeks and weeks, and maybe you will never recover all of that money. It is so dangerous. It does nothing to build your credit. Debit cards have nothing to do with credit. So I don't see any reason at all in the world to have one. I don't have one.
But you only have one wooden spoon, one knife, too. So
that's right.
I don't know, can we actually take advice from you, Mary? I'm not sure.
Oh, that's my temporary situation.
Sure, okay. If we're talking about, you know, it's early on in the new year, we can make some changes. If we wanted to, you know, get down to just one card, do we just cut up the other ones, or do we need to let our, the credit companies know, or some of those things? And so, because we want to clean that off our credit score, right?
Well, it's true that it's a process, and a closing, it's a crazy world we live in. If you close too many credit accounts too close together, that does a terrible thing to your credit score. But just have to remember, it has to do with the utilization rate, how much of that you're using. If, let's say you had three credit cards, and they all have balances on them, and you pay two of them off down to zero. Now, as long as they're open accounts, you're getting credit, you're getting benefit for that on your credit score. So at that point, I would say close them to yourself. That means just cut them up. You're not going to use them anymore, but don't close those accounts quite yet. Now, the third one, work, get all of that debt paid off. Once that is down to zero, now choose between the three which one you're going to keep. Okay? You want to keep the one that is the oldest. History has a great bearing on your credit score. So you want the one that you got in college or whatever one you got so many years ago and you've had such a long time. That's the one you want to keep. Now, the other two, strategically close those accounts. That means you close one now and one perhaps in 6 months or a year. You want to spread that out so it doesn't, you don't take a big hit on your credit score. But as long as the one you keep you're not using, and what I mean, you're not carrying a balance from month to month, that's going to give you a sterling credit score. So you don't have to have many credit cards to get that. You have to have one that's used very, very well that you don't carry a balance on. The absolute maximum you should ever carry on any credit card, and that means even your use during the month, you should never use more than 30% of the available credit at any time. And that will give you also a very good credit score.
Okay, so if we don't ever use more than 30% at any time, that's...
Yeah, and 0% is even better.
Yeah, okay. All right, what's the hardest part of stopping the debt buildup?
The mind.
Okay.
That thing that says, I can have it now, it's so convenient. You know, I think you mentioned that. We've really bought into that, and it's true, it is convenient. But should it be convenient to spend our money? Shouldn't it be a little bit hard? Shouldn't it be a little inconvenient to spend money and to run up debt like that? So it's a change of attitude, really. It's really the start of this whole thing that I call financial maturity.
Does it get easier? I mean, you've been at it for a number of years. I mean, obviously, you came through a pretty serious debt issue, so you're pretty motivated, but do you still have that same motivation?
Yeah, it does get easier. And I suppose in some ways, you know, as you see people ruining their lives, it's hard not to become kind of holier than thou. You know, you idiot, how can you do that? Even though you might think that, I have to keep pulling myself back and to remember, wow, I was right there. So it's commonplace. I mean, I have to realize that the consumer credit industry has spent years and years and years and untold sums of money studying us. Patterns, you know, the psychology of spending and all that, the way that things are situated in the store, eye-level kinds of things, the music that plays, the colors they paint the walls, the way the windows face, the amount of light that comes into the store, all of these things to manipulate the consumer to spend more. And so, you know, I find it very fascinating to learn all of these things. It all goes to help me to become stronger and possibly more able to compete on an even level with that whole industry that's trying to separate me from my money.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about ways that we can be equipped to fight the game, I guess. We're talking debt-proof living, how to get out of debt and stay that way. It's one of the books that Mary has written. She's also written seven Money Rules for Life, How to Take Control of Your Financial Future. Also, The Smart Woman's Guide to Retirement Planning is one of her recent ones. We've got some copies of that to give away. In fact, we have a question from Geraldine who wants to know a little bit about retirement and some planning. We'll get to that and more in just a couple of minutes. Your questions are welcome. 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH.
Work.
But it's still pretty solid theology, and truly, to experience joy in life, it's not going to happen if you're in a deep deep weeds of debt. We're talking about debt-proof living, how to get out of debt, stay that way, talking about money rules for life, how to take control of your financial future. Mary Hunt has written those books and many more. She's an award-winning, best-selling author, syndicated columnist. I enjoy her column regularly, and also as the founder and publisher of the interactive website debtproofliving.com. Check that out for great insight and encouragement. And one of the books that she's written, The Smart Woman's Guide to Retirement Planning, a couple of copies of that to give away. We'll do a little drawing for that. And Geraldine called in, listening in to Faith 1270 in the South Dakota area, and says, as a single woman, how do I figure out how much I will need to retire with? And Mary, I don't know if you can, without knowing a lot of more information, any general ideas?
Yeah, I'd give her the very same advice I'd give a married woman, I'd give a young woman, an older woman. I struggled with this as I wrote the book that you just mentioned, The Smart Woman's Guide to Planning for Retirement. You know, there's a lot of planners out there that look at your situation, and then they project, and then they take percentages, and then they, and I go, wow, you know, that's based on a lot of unknowns that nobody can know. So I have decided that the very best way to plan for retirement, and for our caller, you want to go into retirement light. That means you don't want to drag any debt with you. You don't want to drag any more health issues than you possibly have to. You don't want to have big medical expenses or medications if there's anything you can do now to make sure you don't carry them. You don't want to carry a mortgage into retirement. You don't want to carry in obligations in that way at all. You want to rid yourself of all that heavy baggage so that in the future, when we have no idea what things are going to cost, we don't know what food's going to cost, we don't know what utilities are going to be, you want to make sure that you're going in as light as possible. That means that you don't, you won't be, any of your resources will not have to go to pay the debt. You will own a home. Somewhere, you will be able to live without paying any rent or any mortgage. You're going to learn how to live on less. You're going to be lean and mean. You're going to be taking care of your health so that you're not bringing medical issues with you. Now, beyond that, nobody can predict. We do the best we can. We save as much as we can, but then we turn it over to the Lord and ask for Him to take care of the results. I know of no better retirement plan than that. Rather than saying, well, I'm going to have a $500,000 mortgage, I'm going to have new cars every other year, I've got a plan for this. No, that's, I don't see how that's ever going to work. The better thing is to rid yourself. During these years, while you've got great earning power, earn all that you can, get rid of all the debt, own a home. That is so important. Own a home, free and clear. I don't care if it's a bungalow, a tiny space, whatever it is, a place that you'll be able to live rent-free.
That is such a challenge, isn't it, that where we, you know, our spending today has such a long-term impact, right? I mean, the dollar spent today could be, you know, could be worth $3, I mean, years from now in terms of the limits that it puts on us. Right.
Right. That's absolutely true. And I think as you start thinking in this term of just ridding yourself of these things, it makes it a lot easier to make sense of being frugal now, you know, paying the house off more quickly, doubling up on here, making sure you're getting rid of the credit card debt. Don't let debt be something that becomes commonplace in your life that, well, I'll always be in debt. I'll just, you know, it'll all take care of itself some way in the future. Well, guess what? It won't. If you could look right now at the statistics of elderly folks in our country and how many are living below the poverty line, it's scary. It's horrible. And I'll tell you why. Because they don't own a home. They're having to pay rent or a mortgage. Boy, that'll knock the stuffing out of any kind of a Social Security benefit. You know, and the cost of medications. I think the best way that we can offset that is to make sure we're taking care of our health early so that we've, you know, lessened the chances of having to pay for expensive medications. But, you know, you really cannot prepare the future, but you can prepare for your, you can prepare yourself for the future.
Yeah. Mary Hunt's my guest today. We're talking advice on saving, spending, living, retiring, all those things. I'd love to have you join the conversation. If you have a question, it's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or if you want to drop us a note, that's more convenient. You can just go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. It'll come right into the studio, and we'll take your question, respond to your thoughts or comments, or maybe there's a tip that you have used reading from one of Mary's columns, something that's really worked well for you, and we'll talk about that in a moment. I do want to talk, Mary, a little bit about how would you advise us to maybe kind of take charge of our finances? You know, we've heard the saying, you know, you tell your money where to go as opposed to the other way around. But
right.
what does that look? Is it just a mindset, or are there some actually practical steps where you maybe start small in one area and to make a difference?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the best things that a person can do, it's hard. It's tantamount to saying I'm going to park my car two blocks from the office and walk in every day. I mean, that's not convenient, but it's a good thing to do. It's a good idea. By the way, that's a great tip. Do that. The next thing is that you need to make it very inconvenient to spend your money. See, that's the problem. Our society has made it so convenient. Oh, my goodness. I mean, now there's some places you can just point your smartphone at a scanner or something, and it pays for your coffee, and you go, oh, that's just, oh, my goodness, it just zapped $5 out of my account. I just walked by, you know. I would challenge people to start living on cash. Now, we can't do that across the board. It's just not practical. You can't send cash through the mail and so on. But I'm talking about your walk-around money, your day-to-day spending. I'm telling you, it's like getting used to living in a tiny space. It takes some doing. It plays with your mind for a couple of days. You go, this is way too hard. You have to force yourself to do the tough thing. This is like swimming the laps or running the jogging trail. You know, I mean, you have to set your mind that you're going to do this. But I promise you, if you will set a goal that you are going to spend only cash day to day, this is for your groceries, for your gasoline, for your pharmacy bill, for every way that you spend money when you do your errands, your dry cleaning, all of that, you're going to absolutely pay with cash. We're talking $20 bills, $5, $1 bills, whatever, the green stuff. It's you cannot believe how this is going to change your life. Now, what happens is you focus in. It's just a pain in the neck. You have to plan ahead. You have to go to the ATM. You've got to think, oh, do I have enough money to go to Walmart? It changes everything about the way you spend. Just that one change. I'm just going to do cash on my day-to-day living. And from there will come change after change. They'll be small. You will wake up. It's like your mind will stop being in a spending coma where, you know, you just don't have any idea where all the money went. Pretty soon you're going to keep track, you know. It makes a huge difference. I would just challenge our listeners to just give that a try.
Well, yeah, because if you're opening up your wallet every time and you say, well, wait a minute, I had a 20 there yesterday, now there's only a 10 or something. It's like you do start thinking about it a lot more than if you just swipe the card.
Yeah, and it's equal to food, you know. It's so easy, especially if you're watching a movie or – you know, talking to friends without even thinking. You can go through so much food, you go, whoa. So I think that people who specialize in weight loss and so on will tell you, start paying attention to your portion sizes. Measure things out. And they've got all these little tips and tricks how to do this. Write down what you eat. Count the calories, all that kind of thing. It brings your mind. It focuses in on what's going on. It's the same thing with money. And society is trying to do everything they can to keep us in a place where we're not paying attention. Because that's when we lose and they win. You know, the merchants make so much more if we're not paying attention to how much things cost.
And, of course, part of that, I know, one of the principles you talk about is anticipating your irregular expenses. I mean, things break, surprise things comes up, right? I mean, it's hard for us to kind of anticipate that always.
Absolutely, and especially right now. You know, we've just come through the holidays. I bet you very, very few people hearing us right this minute are even thinking about next Christmas. It's too far away. I mean, we've got Valentine's and summer vacation and all these things that come up before then. But I'll tell you something, if you put $20 a week away just for Christmas, just make it a life habit, you'll never get you'll never get caught short again, because Christmas happens the same time every single year. We always act like it snuck up on us and we couldn't prepare it, but guess what? We could.
Yeah, that Christmas club idea, that's nothing new, but that sure works well, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, and you can apply that to almost everything. You know, our car maintenance and repair, summer vacation, kids' birthdays, everything. You really, it is possible to plan ahead, and it's just a great, great thing to do.
Hmm. Talking today with Mary Hunt, getting advice on spending, saving, getting out of debt, staying that way, just how to take control of your financial future. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Do you allow for borrowing other than, like, you know, it's a mortgage, or, I mean, somebody needs a new car, or you need some new appliances? Or
you know, I think that there are rules of thumb. And I think that the wise person allows for that kind of thing in their lives. But there needs to be, like you say, I think that borrowing for things that last longer than 3 years is probably okay, as long as you have a really clear-cut plan for how you're going to pay it back. You sure don't want to be making car payments when that car starts needing maintenance and repairs that are expensive. So, my rule of thumb is that a car must be repaid within 3 years, because a four-year-old car is going to need repairs. You want that thing paid off quickly. I think there's rules of thumb for instance, for student loans. Pretty hard to pay all cash up front for that kind of thing, but that doesn't mean that there's no limit, you know. The rule of thumb there is that a student should never come out of school owing more than the entry-level salary for the job for which they have prepared their school. For instance, if someone going to be teaching first grade, they go to school for 4 or 5 years, come out of school with some student debt, that debt should be capped. It should be not one penny more than what will be the first-year annual salary for a first-grade teacher, wherever city, you know, where they're going to be teaching. And you can project that. You can go online, you can see there's all this stuff is available. If that's $40,000, that student loans cannot surpass that, because that is the amount of money that reasonably, if you buckle down and really live frugally, a starving student, just like you did in college, while you're working, you should be able to pay that back within 5 years or less. And that is the absolute outside as far as I'm concerned. You've got to get those loans paid. So all of this kind of borrowing, it should never be done just willy-nilly. There needs to be a plan, a purpose, and a justification for it. I see no justification for unsecured debt. By that I mean, Nordstrom's half-yearly sale, or putting a vacation on a credit card. You know, that's just this nonsense. Or meals. Oh, my goodness. It's all gone and forgotten before the bill ever arrives. And if it cannot be paid off within that grace period, boy, we've got a problem.
There's probably some families listening today with students that have a mortgage payment and a student loan payment. And, you know, which one do they let go longer and affect? Is there one that's going to affect their credit rating worse than another?
You mean if they were to default?
Yeah, or not keep up on it and maybe miss a payment or two?
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, this is a tough question. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, just let me make it clear that student debt never goes away. There's no way to make it go away. There's no bankruptcy. There's nothing to sell. There's no way to get out of it. It is, and it will always be. And students need to realize that. As for a mortgage, if you've got a mortgage payment and student loans, you're not able to make either one or you're having trouble, sell the house. Oh, my goodness, get out from underneath that. That is a losing proposition. You do not want to lose that house through foreclosure. Sell it. Find another place to live, another way to live. Losing a home through foreclosure is not nearly as troublesome to your future as for defaulting on a student loan, just because of the nature of the thing. It's sad, but that's true.
Wise advice, real life advice from Mary Hunt today on Connecting Faith. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk some more. We're going to get a few tips and stories maybe that she's gotten from readers and subscribers. I always love reading Mary's column just to to get some great ideas, and we'll talk about one of her her favorite products. We'll get to that and more. Take your questions, too. If you have a question or a comment about debt, getting out of debt, staying that way, or how to take control of your financial future, or maybe it's retirement planning, whatever it might be, give us a call at 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH, award-winning, best-selling author and columnist Mary Hunt with us today as we talk money and finances here on Connecting Faith. It's one of the founding principles, right, of what it means to be a good steward. I mean, God owns it all. It all comes from Him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All comes from Him, belongs to Him. He disperses it. We want to be good stewards. Mary Hunt has been teaching us how to do that for many years, written award-winning books, and we're talking about a couple of them today, just about 7 money rules for life, how to take control of your financial future, debt-proof living, how to get out of debt and stay that way. That was recently updated. Also have a copy of the Smart Woman's Guide to Retirement Planning, and we're taking your calls at 877-93-FAITH. Jane's listening in at Faith 900 with a question about communicating with your spouse when they're not on the same page, maybe when it comes to finances. Jane, go ahead with your call. Hang on a second. Yep. Go ahead, Jane, you're on.
Okay. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Yes, I would like to know how to start a conversation with my husband who is not on the same page about using a credit card in place of debit cards. We use basically only debit cards for everything. Mm-hmm. And we have a credit card, but it's used very sparingly. And I heard what you said about debit cards, and I tend to be on the same page about all the account information being stolen, et cetera. How do I start this conversation? He is so, stubborn, I guess.
Well, that doesn't sound like any guys we know. I can't imagine that.
Really.
So, okay.
Let me ask you just a couple quick questions, Jane. He uses his debit card in what way? Do you manage most of the household income?
No, we both do, actually.
Okay.
You know, we both have a debit card, and we both pay different things,
right?
You know, on our debit cards. And so we have our own accounts, but it's joint in the sense that we can see what the other is doing. You know, it's not, like, separated. But
Right.
But
so you use your debit card for daily expenses like?
Everything, gas, groceries, anything.
Right.
You know, everything goes on the debit card for daily use.
I'm going to be a real softy here, but I think that you need to come up with a plan that will allow this to stay in place but protect your money. So what I would suggest, now this, I don't know your situation, this may or may not work, but this is what I would do. I would put your household account in a completely separate institution, bank, credit union, whatever, separate from your savings, from anything else. And I would, or I'd have two accounts, actually. The one that has the debit cards, though, I would limit the amount of money you keep in that account. Just enough to get through the next month. Say a month's worth of walk-around money, whatever you spend with your debit card. Put that in a completely separate bank. Because then, now, if someone gets and cleans it out, there's a limit to what they're going to get. Okay? If you have it all in one institution bank where you've got your overdraft protection account, you've got your savings accounts, you've got everything tied in there, boy, I'll tell you what, that is where the nightmare comes. So if you can keep your debit card activity completely in a separate bank, it won't matter because you're doing it all electronically anyway. And then just transfer over. Say we need $1,000 a month to cover our debit card purchases. Every month, just transfer over $1,000 or $800, whatever it is that you're going to, that'll keep you kind of on a budget as well. That way, when it's gone, it's gone. You know, you're not going to open up Disneyland for the next thief to come in there and just completely clean you out dry. That's what I would do to keep them separate. You know, it'd be pretty hard. It sounds to me like you've got a system going on that would be hard to change.
Yeah. That's good advice. So thanks, Jane, for that call. Thank you, Mary, for that. I want to talk a little about your columns. I always enjoy reading the ones where you're taking reader tips and recommendations and things. Let's talk about maybe a few that you like the most, or things that maybe you hear from listeners most often?
Yeah. You know, the ones that I like the most are the ones that I try and I go, oh, man, why didn't I know that? Why didn't I try that? And I got one recently, well, a few months ago, actually, that I haven't even published yet. So you're going to be the first to hear about this.
All right.
And it's not really a household tip, but I tell you what, it just spoke to me because I'm one of those people, I travel a lot. I cannot tell you how frustrating it is because it makes me mad to even have to admit it. I leave things in the hotel room, like a phone charger or my electric toothbrush or, you know, I've even left clothes in the closet. Now, I'm really embarrassed to even admit that. But you know how hard it is to get stuff back? Try impossible. I got this tip from someone, obviously, who travels, and this has turned it all around for me. I mean, talk about a new habit and a new routine. This is what the tip is. And this could work for anybody. Okay, you walk into the hotel room. Before you do one thing, you walk into the bathroom and you take a hand towel. It's usually going to be white. They're always white in hotels, okay? A hand towel. You lay this on the desk or the counter, wherever it is in that hotel room where you can fit it. You know, lay it out. Now your rule is everything that you own, when you set it down on that towel, you never put it anywhere else in the hotel room, okay, except the bathroom. That's going to be a little different. But like your hotel room, key, your charger, your cell phone, all of this stuff, my handbag, everything now goes on that white towel. This has been such a changer for me because I know everything where everything is. It's always in the same place. When I leave, everything from the white towel goes back in my bag, and I'm done and I'm gone. I love that tip, and I'm going to write about it soon because I even took a picture.
I like that. That makes great sense, which, of course, is the way all these tips generally do. I want to tell us about one of your favorite products, Knockout. I was telling you before the show, I've gotten some of that, and it really is amazing. We don't really know what it is, but it's pretty amazing. So.
It is an amazing product. It looks like water. You know this, right? It smells like water because it has no smell. It has absolutely no fragrance to it at all. It is in a product, and it's been developed by a scientist who lives in, I think, Connecticut. And I don't know what it is, but it will eradicate odors. And I mean kill them, take them away, not cover them up. It's a little pricey. You don't find it in a grocery store. You have to buy it online. It will be shipped to you. But I'll tell you, if you can save a piece of furniture or something in your life that has gotten so smelly, you know, I once bought an antique something or other at a garage sale, brought it home. Oh, my goodness. Opened the drawer and about knocked me out. Oh, knockout. That's what that is, isn't it? You know, that musty smell, that moldy smell, that kind of thing that you can't get rid of. A lot of times people deal with pet smells that have gotten into the carpet and so on. I'm telling you, this product called Knockout, it's N-O-K-O-U-T, Knockout, knockout.com. It's an amazing product. I couldn't live without it because it's a smelly world out there. And Knockout will take care of it, from everything, from your car to your kids' gym clothes to suitcases to everything. You spray it on, let it sit for about 10 minutes, and I'm telling you, those odors are gone.
It is pretty amazing. It's worth checking out and reading Mary's columns regularly. So talk a little bit about what's on Debt Proof Living. It's an interactive site.
So talk a little bit about that.
Uh-huh.
It's a membership website. It's a place where people come and join, and we are like a family making this journey to getting out of debt. 23 years old now. Can you believe that? Wow. Been doing this a long, long time. It's a place where all of the things I write are archived. People come there and making tremendous, tremendous headway with managing their money. And it's a great, great community. We'd love anyone to come and join us at debtproofliving.com. And then also, as we've been talking about my column, Everyday Cheapskate is also a website. Shows up in newspapers, but also online. It's a free site. If you just want to put in your email address, I'll mail the column to you every day. It's everydaycheapskate.com.
It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm Norwegian, but I really do
Are
like
you Norwegian?
That. I really
Not
do.
I am. My grandfather grew up on the Hegg farm, so that's exactly, I'm Norwegian, yeah.
That could be it. So anyway, we love reading the column. We love chatting. Mary, always good to have you on with us, and wish you safety and a good time moving, and we look forward to the new writing of the book coming out soon.
Great. Thank you so much. It's just been wonderful speaking with you today.
Mary Hunt, join us today. You can find out more about her writing at her website, debtproofliving.com, or you can check out the column every day, cheapskate.com. And, of course, we do links up on our website. And if you missed part of today's show, you can listen to it by going to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. And you can always pass it on to a friend as well. We're happy to have you do that. And thanks to Mary Hunt for joining us today for her great advice on Connecting Faith.